This letter came to us from Haifa, from the newly formed Office of Social and Economic Development. And they raised the same question that I've just referred to and that the House referred to earlier in October. In more detail, they say NSAs may wish to hold conferences at the national or regional level to explain the message from the Universal House of Justice, that's the October 20th message, to discuss with the friends the methods that may be adopted to implement its provisions. What we're doing here today, and to encourage them to consider and become oriented to the wider horizons now open before us. So we're engaged in real work here. This isn't just a weekend away, I hope. This is an attempt to look at these guidelines and find out how we can begin to implement them through our NSAs, through our local assemblies, through the auxiliary boards. The friends at the local level may wish to sponsor a community development seminar or conference and invite Baha'i and non-Baha'i specialists to make presentations on areas of their specialization. There's no reason why we shouldn't be borrowing heavily from non-Baha'i experts. We can learn an awful lot from them in the area of subject matter and expertise. These conferences would raise the prestige of the Baha'i community and would be regarded as further evidence of the deep interest the Baha'is have in the improvement of the immediate environment, in the way of life of the people, and generally in social and economic development. The people who attend will benefit greatly from the consultation on education, health, hygiene, agriculture, and appropriate technology. Those are the areas we are to be in. Officials and institutions engaged in the promotion of those activities will no doubt be happy to participate and will appreciate the efforts of the Baha'i community who have made such a forum possible. In other words, we have to identify ourselves with those activities, those movements, those concerns, and those problems which are afflicting all mankind. It's very easy to identify what many of those are. In a seminar that I teach at the university, every year I ask the students to come up with a list of human problems. The list is always the same. It doesn't change. But nobody is offering the appropriate solution to them. What are some of those things that are facing the generality of mankind? Let me just ask you. I'm sure you can come up with the same list. What are people concerned about? Yeah.
Nuclear
war. Nuclear war, peace, disarmament. That's a big concern. Have we anything to say about that? Can we sponsor seminars, conferences, and forums that move towards that? Certainly we can. What else?
Environment.
What are we doing to the environment? What's happening to our ecology? It's a great concern. Can we do something about that that shows our concern about it? Again, the answer is yes, whether it's in North America, South America, Africa, or Asia. What else? Economics. The economic system is, well, what's the word for it? It's in total disarray. And nothing really seems to be replacing it in a solid way. What can we do to bring attention to the kind of inequalities and inequities that are present? What else? Racial unity, integration. We haven't really moved very far globally on that subject as a race. What else?
Nationalism
is exhausted. We need to now think about global. What's the phrase? We have to think globally and act locally. Instead of the reverse, we've been thinking locally and acting globally. That's why we have wars. Yes. Food and water, nutrition, health. Another one is family. Every culture is concerned about the disintegration of family. It isn't just North America that's having these problems. What else? The infrastructure that supports what's happening in society. Another big concern is education. What are we teaching our kids? The question I asked earlier, what is it good to know? Ask your friend that. Ask yourself that. What is it that's good to know? Well, computers. Is that good to know? That may be useful, but what is it really good to know? What do we have to begin looking at? How can Baha'is focus attention of people on the kinds of things that are immediate concern to them? What else?
Crime,
violence. Well, you've come up with the same list that my students come up with. No matter where that question is asked, people identify the same thing. Now, if those are the problems, if those are the needs of the age in which we live, Baha'u'llah says we should be anxiously concerned about the needs of the age we live in, focus our deliberation on the exigencies. Okay, what are we doing? Now the house has said, go for it. It said, this is what we need to be doing. Here are the principles. Here is the orientation. This is the spiritual basis of our concern. Now we need to invent and innovate programs and activities and projects coming as much as possible from the grassroots, using those local resources and those local insights to invent the kinds of solutions that are founded in the writings of Baha'u'llah. And we're the people, whether we like it or not, who have to do it. Nobody else is going to do it. The UN isn't going to provide the answer for us. Ford Foundation isn't going to do it. It's going to be Baha'is like you and like me who are involved in this and experimenting locally in North America and in other countries with these kinds of activities. Yes.
One part of the discussion was whether the work of all kinds of material at the same time. But it seems that sometimes there are courses that are extremely important above that kind of set the tone for everything below. I'll give you just a very, very short example of that. This comes from Dominique from the Peace Corps. The price of bananas, 5 cents for those who have the production per pound. This happens from the Indianapolis exchanges and so forth and so forth and so forth. But there's no way to say to revitalize that system or that situation exists. And the farmer has no control over that situation. So local producers, local things, you can do all you want, but it won't change.
That's right. That's right. So we have to do it globally. The only solution, I think, is global. I wanted to leave you with two challenges. They are very explicit in these messages. And one is not easy to address. And that is, what are the distinctive features or characteristics of Baha'i development? Why are we in this field now? Are we just another agency added to the other agencies doing international development? What is it that we can bring from our orientation that mankind desperately needs? And rather than just leave that with you, I want to try and get a few things on the board right now, because this may be the beginning. What is it that makes our approach as Baha'is to social and economic development better and distinctive? Right. What is it?
And then, you know, invest the technology and then the rest will fall.
And they put it very simply. They say that the purpose of development is to enhance man's spiritual nature, whereas most development programs are measured in terms of economic benefits, in which the spiritual dimension is simply a tool to reach those economic benefits. And they've turned the whole thing right around and said nothing is valuable in the development sense unless it enhances the Buddhist ideology or the Hindu ideology, or in our terms, the Baha'i standards. But it's very unpopular. Try and sell that to the World Bank or to any UN agency. What else makes our approach distinctive? Yeah.
Selflessness and without ego.
Just like the Christian.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, they say the same thing. But let's put it in there anyway. Yes.
Complication.
Right. I think that's one of our strengths. We don't realize it. But the consultative approach is a very special mode of decision making and planning. And we're fairly good at it. And it's unique in our in the world today. Yes.
I think we could play a role in knowledge of business.
Yeah. We have a goal and objective, like the Sarvodaya movement in Sri Lanka. Their goals are explicit, and one of its strengths is the clarity of those goals. What's the goal of development in the United States? I don't know. What's the goal of development in Canada? I have the foggiest notion. But you can take other parts of the world where their goals are very explicit. It gives the people something to become excited about. Even if it's a haywire goal, they like it because they can fix their attention on it and organize their energies towards it. Our goal in Baha'i development, in world development, in creating an ever-advancing civilization are very explicit. And all we need to do is operationalize it. That's all. Any other things that make it distinctive?
I was saying
We have the institutions there. We have the elected institutions, we have the appointed institutions. And they are a very clear and creative blending of strength. And when they work together, the project success is guaranteed. No other agency has that kind of combination, those checks and balances that are there. Yes. Programs usually have a long-term objective, and they're integrated. We'll put that down, integrated. Also make use of men and women, which we may take for granted, but it really isn't happening that well. Yes.
Interesting, go from the whole world, from that limit.
Yeah, that's interesting, that we have a worldwide network. When we were visiting people in Ecuador and in Bolivia, in terms of assisting, many of the government people we first met thought that the Baha'is were just a little group in Bolivia, for example. And then they realized that we have a support system all over the world. We can draw upon people from Africa, from India, from the States, from Canada, who have all these specialties.
The Baha'i world order is important, and the authority behind it, again, is another important factor.
That's right. We have a source of authority.
Yeah.
Many other groups in development are reluctant to say what their authority is because they are afraid they will offend or alienate someone. We are upfront with it. Our authority is Baha'u'llah. And his interpretation of where we're going is what we base our procedures and processes upon. Yes, in the back.
Well, I think the network of people all over the world is the most important thing that I'd like to extend beyond expertise to also just get it. Information about where to get inputs and where to market outputs. There's potential for that kind of information to be transferred within the Baha'i world that can make a lot of difference.
Yeah. And we need the mechanism that will make that possible.
Right.
That's something we have to build yet. Yes.
I think people depend on the material outside of the
about seven or eight more hands up, and we won't have time to go through that, but I wanted to do this to show ourselves how far advanced we are. When you say to a Baha'i, what is it that we have to bring to the world, and you look at this list, and you add another six or seven, this is a unique and distinctive, comprehensive and integrated approach to development. And when you look at the message from the Office of Social and Economic Development on the criteria, some of you have seen that letter of December the 12th, listing all the things that should be present before we go ahead with the project, there's nothing to prevent us from beginning and initiating these things immediately. This is what we have to offer. This expanded in many ways. When you look at all of these and implement them in an integrated way into a development project, we can't help but succeed. And these features and characteristics are distinctive and very powerful when they are introduced into the whole field of international development. So I just wanted to do that to remind us of the strength that we have. We often are far too modest. One final question I want to leave with you, and we won't get into it now, and this is to me the most difficult one. The House keeps reminding us repeatedly that we must start at the local level with our local resources, building confidence in ourselves, achieving our own maturity, and moving from there. I don't know how to do that. Maybe you do. How do we begin with that strength at the local assembly level, at the local community level? How do we begin the process there, whether it's in third world countries or whether it's in North America? This is the guidance they've given us repeatedly. Before we take off and begin to be move in larger circles with international aid agencies assisting us, how do we first of all enhance and develop our local strength so that what we do is consistent with our own capacity? How do we begin that process? I just want to leave that question with you, and maybe we'll have some time. We have about an hour left, I think, before lunch. And the program, I think, indicates some initial response from Dr. Arbab, and then some general questions. Before I sit down, I just wanted to mention one more thing. that's the initiative taken by the NSA of Canada through the Canadian Baha'i International Development Service. We don't really know how we got into the business of doing international development, but the House of Justice asked us to administer Radio Baha'i in Ecuador because Canadian government money was being used for it. That went very well, and so they asked us to do the same thing with the Anis Danuzi School in Haiti, which again is using about $100,000 of Canadian government money, matched to a small extent by Baha'i money. That went very well, and so they asked us to do the same thing with the Rabani School in India, which is largely financed again by Canadian government money. So we needed to develop an agency in Canada that would manage these projects responsibly. We just met with the desk officer in charge of Baha'i activities for our Canadian government, CIDA, Canadian International Development Agency, and they are so pleased with what we have done so far that they said they had a surplus of money this year, and they wanted to know how much more we wanted. Well, that's it's very tempting, and so our answer was we didn't want any, because it means we have to find Canadian matching Baha'i funds to do it. He said, well, how about if we give you a 3-to-1 match? Our original matching was 1-to-1, one Baha'i dollar for one Canadian government. Then it went up to 2-to-1 for Haiti. Now they said they will match us 3-to-1 for any project. Now, this is very nice. However, it's also very seductive and has many pitfalls in it, and it's very tempting to say, fine, give us $500,000 and we will do something in Bolivia, in Peru, we can do something in Uganda, and so on. However, I think as different national communities get into the field of international development, they will find, because we are reliable, and most important, because we have a grassroots organization. We are not a foreign organization going into Bolivia. There are hundreds of villages already there with a structure that many international organizations would dearly love to co-opt for good purposes. UNICEF, for example, would like to ride in on our village network for very worthwhile projects in health. How much should we lend ourselves to that? The House has said, to some extent, do it cautiously. Collaborate with these agencies. Lend our support and our facilities where it's appropriate. But this is a whole uncharted sea that we have yet to begin to chart. And though it looks very good for CETA to come to us and say, well, here, you want $500,000? You can have it. What that $500,000 could do if it were dumped on one national community would be ruin that community in terms of their expectations, unwise use of the money, and our embarrassment, perhaps, when we have to go back to CETA and say, whoops, we made some mistakes, or the National Treasurer ran off with the money. We have had that kind of danger to deal with when that sort of temptation is put in front of Baha'i communities. However, it's encouraging to be well thought of, and we have to maintain that kind of reputation. I just wanted to repeat those two questions. What are the distinctive characteristics of Baha'i development? And they're something like this. We should put them all together, make them into kind of a guidance manual, which the Office for Social and Economic Development has begun to do and refine. And those become the things that we do when we are involved in development projects locally or internationally. And then the other question, which we might get some discussion about now, and I know this is something that Farzan is interested in and knowledgeable about, how do you begin this process at the very local level so that what the Baha'is are doing is consistent with their own understanding and not imposed from abroad, no matter how well-meaning? How do you avoid that being imposed? Like my friend who went to Africa and had all these fine ideas about water, it wasn't what the people wanted. That can happen just as easily amongst Baha'is as it can amongst non-Baha'i agencies. I'm afraid we're going to have to adjourn now and move into the next item. Thank you very much for your questions. I simply wanted to... I saw my role this morning is trying to identify some questions, some problems, that this group is probably more qualified to consider, not just here, but when you go back home, than any other. And that the new directions which have been outlined for us by the House are before us. And what we need to do is begin to find ways in which we can develop methods, techniques, that will begin to result in small successes before we move into the larger successes. The principles are there. These characteristics we've been able to identify in 10 or 15 minutes, they somehow need to be enshrined in our own consciousness so that when we become involved in a project, we make sure that all of these things, which are based on Baha'i principles, are in fact there. For example, consultation, participation. If we get tempted into a development project which is imposed, which allows for very little participation, which has no information component, then I would say we should say no to that. We don't want to be party to that kind of violation of consultation and participation. Well, thank you for your responses and for your questions, and we'll continue, as Bardhan has suggested this afternoon, more and more into methodology, into implementation, and into how you begin this at local levels and expand from that into larger national and international projects.